even just like interacting with people I don't know of is a little stressful. So beyond that, asking for help is like, oh my God, I don't want to seem like I'm weak or don't know what I'm doing. But you kind of just have to make yourself do it. And I would like an ideal world where we could just kind of all depend on each other.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am so hyped to be on this Women in Tech road trip. Thanks to Kia. Thank you, Kia, for this mobile podcasting studio. We are in Oklahoma City. Yes, in the Niro with our chilled seats. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited that your brother introduced us. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell everybody who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Well, my name's Aidy, like the number, last name Lenardi. Currently, I work for Dell, so it's over-the-phone tech support, so it's a very cool call center, but a call center nonetheless. We deal with enterprise, so that's specifically servers, networking switches, storage devices.
And when did your love for technology begin?
Probably when I was about 12 and got a PlayStation.
Tell me, who got you the PlayStation?
My mom did, actually, because I was asking for it.
So. And what did, were you attracted to it? Because did your brother play video games? And
well, there's such a big age gap between me and my brother that we didn't interact much growing up. But video games are still my hobby to this day. I don't know if you can see the shirt. This is a
fun house. Mm-hmm. Fun house.
It's a gaming channel that does podcasts on YouTube and stuff.
I did play Nintendo. I was into that. I know it's super archaic, but I'm not like a gamer.
Okay. Sorry. It's my pastime.
No, it's like I'm just not cool. That's pretty, like you are cool and I am not. Cool. And so you played video games and then it's funny because I think my playing of video games actually got me into tech too, mm-hmm. which is interesting. And my dad got me like all this stuff. He used to say, Esprit, keep playing. It gives you good hand-eye coordination.
Yeah. I mean, my reflexes are pretty good, I think.
So. And then how did you parlay playing video games into working in the tech industry? Like where did you first start learning about tech just on your own and then to eventually become a profession?
Yeah, it was mostly, honestly, watching. It started with the video games, watching other people play video games.
Right.
And they would discuss, you know, things about their industry, the YouTube industry, media in general.
Yeah.
And it delves into a lot of software and engineering. And my first job was Best Buy. And then it's just gone from there. Just every job has been at least somewhat tech related.
Right.
So.
And why Best Buy?
Well, when I was 16 and trying to find the first job, I was like, I'm going to be a cashier no matter where I go. And Best Buy seemed like the coolest option for me. I just wanted to be around like electronics, I guess.
It's cool. I think that's really cool for everyone younger to be exposed to, that you could really immerse yourself into the tech culture in the easiest way. I mean, mm-hmm. get a job as a cashier and you are exposed to tech that way.
Yeah,
it's a great starter.
Even trying.
What's one of the things you learn there?
Well, you get exposed to, you know, like the Geek Squad counter,
right.
the Mavericks, I guess, of Best Buy.
Right.
Geek Squad. So they come up and kind of complain to you as the cashier,
right,
buying drinks and stuff from you. They talk about what they're doing that day, break down like what they have to do to diagnose a computer issue,
yeah,
whenever people turn in their laptops,
yeah,
and what the easy fixes are and like what people overlook a lot. And you just kind of pick up basic computer skills. Like just the other day, my neighbor came to my apartment, knocked on my door and asked if I could get a virus off her laptop because she was like, "You're a tech person, right?" Yeah, do it. Sure.
That's so cute. It's so funny that you bring up Best Buy, because Best Buy actually, so these women in tech tours that I do are mostly self-funded, but obviously the road trip, thank you, Kia, for this vehicle, because that would have been really expensive. But I actually went and I got the G7 from Best Buy.
Nice.
Yeah. And the G7 Mark II, which is what all the fancy YouTubers are using these days. And so shout out to Best Buy. They had great deals.
Yeah, they're the best buy.
So, okay, then when did you discover the opportunity at Dell?
That was actually very recently. So I've moved around the U.S. a little bit. I lived in Denver for a time.
We were just there.
Yep. And I actually found myself back in Oklahoma a little over a year ago. And that's when I started working for AT&T. And I spent, I believe, like a year and a month there.
Right.
Until there was finally an opening at Dell, because I'd been wanting to work there. I have friends who work
right
there. And they were finally hiring. So I put my application in, did my interview, and immediately transferred over there. So.
And how did you learn? I mean, your role sounds super technical. How did you learn that? Or did you get trained by Dell or by AT&T?
Oh, yeah. Dell trains you like nobody's business.
So getting a job can sometimes, you don't really have to know the whole thing. It's almost like going to school.
Mm-hmm. It was, they asked some base questions in the interview, you know, about servers. Like, do you have like kind of just the bare minimum grasp,
right,
of what a server is and what it does. And if you can answer those questions with any sense of confidence, they're like, okay, here's 6 weeks of training.
I mean, where did you even, for some of us, that's even hard to grasp. Where did you even learn that?
Just reading, honestly, which,
yeah,
sounds super lame. I actually have a bunch of those big yellow books. It's like for dummies stuff. I'm,
yeah,
reading one right now on programming. And it's like, God,
Wait, this thick. Okay, wait, hold on. We just interviewed Amanda, who I introduced you to, with Techlahoma, and they do, it's, I think it's called Free Code Camp. It's free and it's live. So if you don't like people, you don't even have to go. You can just watch it online, and it's free. And there's all these people in the community that are learning how to code from her free code camp that's held here.
Well, I had never even heard of this place. I mean, that's outstanding, because I'm just planning on saving up money and taking like online classes.
Dude, so. No, it's free. I just saved you money.
Well, there you go.
Worth the podcast. So before we leave, I'll get the info from her to give to you, because I know you want to get to your puppy.
Mm-hmm.
What's your puppy's name?
Yoshi.
Yoshi?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Is your puppy a nerd too?
He's just crazy. He'll start chewing on stuff if I'm gone for more than like an hour and a half.
So working at Dell, what's the culture like? What do you most enjoy about going to your job every day?
I really like the people I work with, because, I mean, everybody is aware that they work at a call center. We get paid to sit, you know, for the better part of 9 hours.
Right.
I actually work 12-hour shifts, but...
That's insane.
I get 3 days off, so it's okay. But everybody helps each other.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who has even the slightest little question on policy, or this storage unit has a host operating system that's different than what the guidelines typically are.
Right.
So are we going to go over to a different engineer?
Right.
And you can just ask the person next to you who's been there the exact same amount,
yeah,
of time, and they'll help you. So it is kind of like a little community.
For people that want to connect with you, that are listening and that they're really inspired on your really organic progression into the tech industry, like, where can they find you? What's most comfortable for them to, is it Twitter, Instagram, email?
I actually don't have a Twitter or Instagram. I'm super lame like
that. You're not lame. I think that's awesome. You're focused.
Facebook.
Facebook is what, and can you spell your name?
Just A-D-Y is my first name. And then my last name, Lunardi, is L-U-N-A-R-D-I.
Perfect. And so you guys, you can look it up. It's funny because I said you guys in the last one too, and I just said it now again, and I heard somewhere on the interwebs that sometimes women don't feel comfortable using the term you guys. So then Amanda suggested using y'all. So I'm going to train myself to start saying y'all.
It's very Oklahoma of you.
Well, I like Oklahoma. So I'm going to train myself, but bear with me, everyone, that it's going to take a while, because I come from an action sports background surrounded by skateboarders, and you guys and dude and rad are just, it's just,
oh, I call women dude constantly.
Okay.
So
okay. But I'm going to try to switch guys to y'all. I mean, you're for that. We make me make more Oklahoma throughout the U.S. Okay. So what's one thing you do to overcome challenges when you're at the call center and you have a coding question or a tech question that you're like, overwhelming, and maybe you can't, like, what do you do? How do you overcome that challenge?
Well, beyond just asking your peers, and, you know, we use Skype in that business, so we can always reach out and just message each other. Honestly, working at AT&T as well, you kind of are taught to, you know, be autonomous. You know, you need to work for yourself.
Right.
So we have a lot of resources that we can look things up. So if you have the patience and you know, like, the right keywords and you just kind of finagle the system properly, you can find the answer to your own question.
So. I feel like one thing that's come up a lot is that you aren't afraid to ask for help, and you're actually encouraged to ask for help, like, and have the supportive tools. That's a really big deal, because a lot of people are afraid to not look perfect enough, like, almost like, oh, I can't ask for help because then we'll look like I can't handle the role.
And unfortunately, it's those people who don't end up sticking around.
Right.
So
what's one thing that you could share with everyone in kind of like switching our mindset and being able to ask for help more?
I mean, just ideally, I, for one, am a little socially awkward, if you can't tell. So even just like interacting with people I don't know of is a little stressful. So even beyond that, asking for help is like, oh my God, I don't want to seem like I'm weak or don't know what I'm doing. But you kind of just have to make yourself do it. And I would like an ideal world where we could just kind of all depend on each other. But, you know, that's super cheesy as well.
No, I love it.
And you feel, you know, you feel better for getting help. It helps you connect with people. You learn something you didn't. You might also make somebody else look at something they've never looked at before. And the whole process betters both you and the person helping you.
I love your vulnerability and sharing that, like, sometimes you feel socially awkward. I too feel socially awkward a lot of times. I think having the courage to meet with me after, you know, your brother connected us, and to do this podcast when you don't know who I am, and a podcast is a bit awkward, and you have a video thing, and there's all these things happen. Yeah. What gives you that resilience to say, fuck it, do it? Excuse my cursing, but fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, that's literally it, is the fuck it mentality. So it's just do it. It's like the Shia LaBeouf thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Where he's really, oh my God, that YouTube video where he's screaming, just do it. Oh.
No, I haven't seen it. Dude, well, my roommates is the same thing, that I am like not in tune to what happens in the world.
But it sounds so stupid because it's so rudimentary, you know, just do it. Like, life isn't that easy, of course, you know, battling with anxiety, stress, self-deprecating stuff.
Thoughts. Yeah. I'm there.
You literally just kind of have to make yourself. And then it gets easier every time you do it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a newfound trait that I have. Yeah. Like, well, just go do it. And then you feel better afterwards.
Totally. Yes. I think it's interesting that, like, literally in this world, for the most part, there's no right way or wrong way. As long as we lead from a place of heart, there's only, like, the story and journey that we create for ourselves. But because it, at least for me, it feels like everybody figured everything out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, like, let me find out what the right way is or the wrong way. And then I just find out that, like, everybody has a different opinion. And that just makes it all the more overwhelming.
It's weird thinking that there's billions of other perspectives on the exact same thing.
Which aids to the anxiety. Mm-hmm. So just kind of being like, fuck it. And do it anyway. That's like, it's the only way to get through, because we will never reach a point where we're perfect enough.
No.
Ever.
And, you know, constantly striving for perfection is just going to depress you.
Yeah. You know? Eat you alive. Yeah. So before we take off, I'd love to share with everybody, like, if somebody wants to go in the steps that you're in today, what would you suggest that they do?
Honestly, you know, now that I'm not 16 and just looking for the first job, figure out which avenue of technology you want, because I still haven't even done that.
Honestly.
Right. I've done the whole gambit. Like, I started just selling it. Then I started fixing printers. Then I fixed phones. Now I'm fixing servers. So I've been really heavy on the tech support side. So just pick, like, one thing that you actually want to do and you have to do the silly phrase, like get your foot in the door.
Totally.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. Let's give a shout out to your brother.
Yeah, Jonathan Lenardi. Go bother him on Facebook, too.
That would be amazing. Definitely. And you wanted to tell us like a snapshot of who is Jonathan?
My brother is outstanding. Honestly, he's an entrepreneur. He lives in D.C. He has been working his ass off for the past like 8 years at least to try to get web development to help veterans in different facets. So right now he's working on education. He's trying to help veterans find cheaper colleges by working with the colleges because there's, you know, incentive for places to actually have students that are veterans. So he's just delving himself into that.
I love it. I need to introduce him to Charlie Hohen, who creates a lot of like positive content for veterans. Like what he does is he talks about how veterans need to play more in the mental health for veterans and like what they eat. Does a lot of work with veterans as well. It's something that we don't think about enough.
No, and they deserve some special attention. Sounds weird, but they deserve gratitude.
Know? I mean, so. We're sitting in a car at our free will, in a car even. Like so many freedoms are happening right now. And it's all because people fought for those freedoms for us. Yeah. On that note, I think it's important to remember. Actually, I'm going to be like super serious for a second. I think it's important to remember how important men and all other genders, however everybody wants to describe it these days, support and celebrate women in tech. Because the more that we're celebrated by everyone else, the more that we all grow together in unison in a very collaborative way. When we segregate one another, then it's kind of like we're fighting for ourselves or we're excluding the other side. Like, I feel really proud that my guy friends wear the Women in Tech t-shirt, you know, like it's just so awesome. So on that note, I really want to thank Jonathan for introducing us. I'm so stoked that I got to interview your sister, and I will talk to you guys, hear you guys, see you guys in the next episode. Remember, you could tweet us, Instagram us, Facebook us at Women in Tech Show, or definitely look at the Women in Tech Facebook group if you go to womenintechvip.com, and that will take you straight to the Facebook group. And I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Okay, bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring.
We've been road tripping.
Yes.
There's three of us. We've slept in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We've taken it to campsites.
Wow.
Look, it has a sunroof.
Yeah.
That is like so dope.
I'm not kidding. This is like really bizarre.
So dope.
Because Kia was my last stop on my car buying journey.
It's so dope.
But I was blown away. And this, I'm like, the stars are aligning.
Yeah. Clearly, and the space in the back, super spacious. If I were to do a road trip again, I don't see me driving. And like the GPS working when there's no other cell reception, the heat and the cooled seats, depending on the temperature outside, just everything. This car is amazing.
This is incredible. It's so funny because we have an SUV and now I'm like, maybe we should be trading in our SUV and opting for the Niro as well. Maybe we'll go full Kia
I mean,
as a family. No, we do a lot of road tripping.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.